Hey everybody, this is Steli Efti.
And this is Heaton Cha.
And in today's episode of the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about how to create a killer pitch deck.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life, and hopefully while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit, we got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Done, yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
Now, there is, you know, a before we dive into what that means and the tips and tricks and tactics we've seen helping, you know, hundreds of thousands even of founders raise money and improve their pitch decks, I want to just tease that there's a product that Heaton is launching very soon that's going to be all about helping you improve your pitch deck. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more towards the end of this episode. And I think this is an exclusive. Nobody knows that this is coming, right?
No, I haven't really told anybody. I barely tell you about it. So yeah, but I've been working on it for a while.
That's so true. So you know, me and you know, all of you that are listening, we're gonna hear the first few kind of insights and intel on this new product that Heaton is launching. So I'm super excited about that. But yeah, that's just the tease. Let's actually jump into the topic of creating a killer pitch deck now. You know, I get maybe a handful of pitch decks a week sent to me where people ask me for feedback or for advice. I know for you, it must be a lot more, right? You've helped countless startups raise money and improve their pitch deck. So, you know, let's just dive right into it. When people today in 2017, when they sit down, open, you know, PowerPoint or Keynote or whatever they do, and they think, shit, I need to put together a presentation so I can go out and raise money. Where do people start and where shouldn't they start? What are some of the kind of mistakes people make that they should avoid? What's the framework that you would advise people to use when they start at zero?
Yeah, this is just a ridiculous topic just because it's the number one problem that startups have when it comes to just like fundraising in general. And the pitch deck is, you know, one of the statements. And again, I haven't shared a lot of this, so it's funny for me to actually talk about it. I usually share everything. I've just been working on it and focused. But basically what I like to say is the pitch decks are the new business plan. So back in the day, you had a business plan and people would use that to judge your business and they'd give you money. And that had a lot to do with starting with how, you know, people would go to the bank and get money for their business, or they would go to friends and get money for their business. This is how people got money for their business, right? And this is a long time ago. This is what historically happened. Then we had venture capital. Right. And a lot of things changed. And then we had technology and we could buy servers and we had more scale with software and, you know, all those kind of things. Like back in the day, you weren't able to actually raise money. I'm sorry. You weren't able to build a product until you raised money. So you needed this elaborate plan because people had to believe in what you were doing and that you thought through it. Now it's like you launch something, you get some traction, and then you're creating a pitch deck and raising money from a bunch of angels and stuff like that. That's the most common method today, which is people are getting really far before they raise money. So if you think about this, like even in Y Combinator, which I know you see a lot of YC applications and others, like, you know, your you know, pool of people who come to you for help is probably like people who are trying to get in YC and then people that are international founders. I would just imagine, right?
That's a good, yeah, that's, it's like YC founders and then, or people that want to get into YC, into 500 Startup, international and SaaS specific. But yeah, that's a good guess.
Right. So like that's like your pool. And like what's interesting about that is like all those folks, the majority of them, I bet, are coming to you and they already have something. They have something to talk about. They have a product.
It's very rare or almost, I almost never see somebody come that has nothing, just an idea. It doesn't happen. Yeah, you're right.
And so that's like what was really impactful to me when I thought about that, because there are so many traditional people out there that don't understand this. They don't understand that like a business plan isn't what you use to raise money. And I know most of our audience probably gets this, but if you don't, you need to understand that like getting a product out there, getting customers or users, and then raising money, that's what works today. That's the majority of what's out there. So we should start, I think, on that fundamental level, you know, before even moving on, because otherwise what happens is what you create is a pitch deck that looks like a business plan from 20 years ago. It's all made up, right? That's the biggest mistake people make, is they make the numbers up. They make guesses, they make hypotheses, but have no evidence that it's going to work. And that's the opposite of what you need in a pitch deck. You need actual In my opinion, it's like a story of what you've done, what you're doing right now, and what you're going to do in the future. And so as I've studied these things and realized like what works the best, it's actually this model where you talk about the past, you talk about where you're at now, so the present, and then you talk about the future. And what people forget is that investors are investing in the future. So most pitch decks I see, they don't have enough about what's going to happen next. They have so much about what's happening now. They don't even talk about the past and their own story of how they got here. And then they forget about the future. When an investor gives you money, so you can take that money and grow a business and make more money, right?
Yeah.
What's the other, like, there's no other point here.
And the main thing that people forget is that no matter how you want to use data, you want to use numbers, you want to use research, right? All that stuff is good, but it's all to support a story. At the end of the day, if I invest in the future, I need to, there is a requirement for me to be able to do that, which is I need to use my fantasy to either believe in your future or create a future that I find compelling as an investor. I need to buy into a storyline. I need to buy into that this thing is going to take off and this thing is going to have, as the world changes or as this thing changes the world, there's going to be a lot of value created and I'll be able to be part of that exciting ride. And too many people, they include in the pitch deck all the numbers, all the data, all the research, which is awesome. But then they leave the investor alone to come up with the story themselves and to come up with the future themselves. What does this mean for the future? How big could this really be? What is the trajectory of it? And that's too much work to be done to the audience, right? You really want to tell a compelling story. You really want to stimulate somebody's imagination and fantasy. And I love the format that you describe, which is like, tell people what happened in the past, you know, kind of take me on the journey of how you started and how you got here, where you are today and where you're going next. And why is this journey exciting? And why is it accelerating? And why is it fast? And why is it, you know, growing massively? That kind of, it's a simple format, but it's one that's very, very powerful.
Yeah. I mean, it's the ultimate way that I teach people how to make their pitch decks. And I've been doing a lot of that kind of work just so that I could build this product with my business partner. We've been doing a ton of work around pitch decks and storytelling and learning about it. And
when Heaton says putting together a killer pitch deck is the number one problem that people have when they raise money, that's not just opinion. You actually have done a ton of customer development and research and interviews and discovered that through data, not because you kind of just thought that that's important.
Yeah. I didn't realize how important it was, truthfully, Stelly. I thought it was like, you build a product, right? We know how to do that. And then you get some traction and then those numbers speak for themselves. But like, I've seen businesses that are great, making money, will grow in the future, that can't raise money because they can't tell their story at all.
Yeah.
And it is story.
What about adversity? So let me ask you, when somebody tells their story and they're like, here's the past, here's the present, here's the future, just like thinking about storytelling 101, how useful or valuable is it when they include some of the adversity? You know, when it's not just like, we had this idea and then boom, 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 we launched it and with all this growth and all this press and we had all these people and it's just going to be this massive ride and everything is great. Obviously, that's exciting, right? And you want to show that you are able to execute really fast and that things are moving at an exciting pace. But how do you feel about including, if it's authentic, not just making it up, but including maybe some of the oh shit moments when something goes wrong, when there's a big problem and how the team overcame that? Just thinking about like storylines and how to make them even more compelling. And if that's something that investors you think would want to hear and that would influence them getting even more excited in putting money into the company.
On all this stuff, it just goes back to investors want to invest in great business, right? And you as a founder, you want to build a great business. Is there anything more to it? That's the question that I would first pose to any entrepreneur. You want to build a great business. The investor wants to invest in a great business. So basically, your whole story, your whole pitch, even your whole execution should be designed around how does this turn into a great business? Not how does this look like a great business? Not how do I make up a story that, you know, is fake that makes this framed really good? No, it's like, do you have a great business? Is it attacking an important enough, large enough market, right? And I don't mean to talk about market size slides or anything. It's just like your own evidence against this, right? Like, for example, in your business, close.io. Someone, you know, early on could come in and say, oh, you're crazy. You're going after CRM. You could rebut them and say it's one of the biggest markets out there. Even if we get, you know, a little tiny, tiny portion of it, we can be a massive business. And let's not even talk about how many acquirers there are for a business like this, which you shouldn't talk about in your pitch deck, but it's just naturally where investors should go in their head when they think about market and market size. And it's not that you should show that. It's just that, like, this is an obvious, important problem. So important. Businesses are paying tons of money for it. And in your case, you had a very specific angle around it where you integrated a bunch of features into a single tool set, not a bunch, but really important ones with the calling and tracking of that and all that kind of stuff, right? So you had an entry point. And by the time you're, you know, if you had to give a pitch early on, you know, weren't NYC or anything, but you had some traction, you have a compelling pitch. You have customers, your salespeople yourself. So you've got the perfect story of like why you should be the one doing this. You were, you know, helping a bunch of salespeople, you know, and then you created this product because you needed it. You know, and then you pivoted your whole company into doing this, and now you've got a team attacking this problem. You even did some of the hard things, like let go of a lot of salespeople that you were training and working with because you had to. I mean, the story is brilliant. It's great, right? But you know, I know a lot of people listening are like, oh, but this is Stelly. Yeah, fucking Stelly's awesome. Excuse my language, but like, that's not the point. Stelly made that story happen. If you know Stelly's story, you know, just like me, we were both dipshits at some point, right? With no clue what we were doing. Right. And many of you might think of yourselves like that. Not that you are dipshits. Don't get me wrong. But like, this is about how do you just logically take something and make it great? Like make it not even appear like a great business, but have all the metrics, have the traction. Right. And I think one of the most important things, there's a whole book on traction and all that. And I don't mean that kind of traction. I mean, literally you've de-risked parts of this business. So in your case, Stelly, you de-risked the fact that, you know, nobody would use your product if you put it out there, because by that time someone was using it. In fact, you de-risked the fact that you knew the problem because you were doing customer development every day that you were making money in the consulting business by basically building the product, you know? And look, I'm telling the story in a way where I'm sure there was a lot of details I'm missing and all that, but at the end of the day, the investors don't care as much about the details. Honestly, what they care about is the essence of the story and the fact that it's true enough.
I love it.
And that's the start. That's a lot of the past stuff that people don't do. You know, they don't describe themselves in that way. They don't talk about a big trend like, hey, because of Twilio, this technology is easier than ever to do and nobody's integrated it at all or well into CRM today. Just as an example, you know, I don't know if you guys are using Twilio or not. I don't even know if that made your life easier, but either way, I can point to trends that you could put in your past type of deck